This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
I'm going to be speaking from John 6 today. It's a long passage, you can turn there. I'm not going to be reading the whole thing because that would probably take up most of my 15 minutes. But to give you a bit of backstory, this is just after Jesus has fed thousands of people with minimal snacks, some loaves and some fish. And the disciples are chasing after him. They're trying to find Jesus because they're a bit stunned. They're still reeling from what's happened. So they go and find him. And in John 6, we see them try and ask Jesus to show them more miracles. They're like, this is amazing. Can you show us some more? And in fact, we want to do these miracles as well. And they start off by asking him, they focus on the miracles, and they say, this is what we want to do, just like Moses did. And they're referring to when he fed the Israelites with manna from heaven. And he's saying, just like Moses fed us and showed us that miracle, we want to do the same thing. Can you show us how to do it? And Jesus kind of looks at them, and his response is along the lines of, you're missing the point, boys. This isn't right. You think Moses gave you that stuff? That was God. God provided that sustenance for you. That wasn't Moses. And in fact, that's just a taste of what's to come, because I've got something so much better for you. And he follows it with a statement, I am the bread of life. And that's kind of what I want to unpack a little bit today, because I love that the Bible has lots of phrases for Jesus and for God. But it annoys me that some of them are so confusing that we use them around. I go, Jesus is the bread of life. And everyone will go, yes. And most of the time I'm sitting there going, great. Can someone help me out with that? So I'm gonna kind of go through that. And I really believe that when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he's not just saying, call me the bread of life, but that is an experience that we can have now, that we can experience Jesus as the bread of life, not just call him the bread of life. So when I was thinking about bread of life, I like to put it in terms that I can understand. So I've got bread of life, I've also got food for the soul, and nourishment for your spirit. That's kind of where I'm going with it. This is the way that phrase sits on my heart. And I love that he uses food for a reference. That is what I was talking to Hannah about this, and she reminded me of, funnily enough, her wisdom teeth when she had them out. And she couldn't eat for a week, and I just had to feed her through a straw. And that was really annoying. I mean, for me, because I had to chop all the food up, but also for Hannah, because she couldn't eat any solid food. And if you ask her, that week was just horrible. But when she had that first bit of solid food, it was like sheer bliss. And it was probably something like overcooked pasta, just so she could get it down. But the fact that Jesus uses food in this is an amazing indicator of how we are to see our lives with him. It needs to be as essential as food and as water. It is not an option. We don't choose whether or not we want to eat every day. Eventually, if we don't, we'll die. Yeah, we have to keep eating. And Jesus wants us to see our relationship with him as that essential. Yeah, that we experience him every single day. And so what I want to do is kind of unpack that a little bit with what does that look like then in our lives? So we are to see Jesus as essential, but what does that even mean? And I like that in verse 53, Jesus kind of gives a clue as to what it's going to be like. So he says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. That's a little bit morbid for my liking. I think the disciples would probably have been given Jesus a bit of a puzzled look, because we understand this in the light of what Jesus has done, whereas this was to come for them, so they had not a clue. I love the passage, because they're kind of going, what are you on about? And he repeats himself three times. But it's this amazing picture of this remaining, he remains in us as we depend on him. It's kind of a cyclical relationship. As we draw near to Jesus and as we experience him, he remains in us, which gives us more reasons to remain in him. And it's kind of this circle that goes around. It's an amazing picture. He meets us in a place of dependence on him. Yeah, we as followers of Jesus need to exhibit some sort of wanting Jesus and dependence on him for him to give us the fullness of what he has for us. I really, really believe that. So what does this promise look like? This promise of remaining in us as we in him, this cyclical relationship, what does that look like in our lives? And in John 6, I think there's three that stick out for me that will become evident in our lives if we follow him and we depend on him. In verse 35, just after he says a statement, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So the first thing I've got is we'll be satisfied in every way. Good. That isn't physical, necessarily. We're not going to have massive houses because we believe in Jesus. But in our spirits, in our souls, in our relationships, in our physical surroundings as well, Jesus will satisfy us in every way.
Amen.
But the kind of thing that we need to realize with that is that we need to come to him. We need to see our relationship as essential with him, as our daily need. The next thing, verse 37, he says, "However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." We will never be alone. We will never be rejected. Similar to what Tony said, we have a Father in heaven that will never leave us.
Amen.
Whatever circumstance we're going through, he is there. He is a rock. He is an anchor. Situations, people, work may cause us to feel isolated. We might actually be isolated. We might be on our own. We might live on our own. We might work self-employed. We might be on our own. But Jesus promised that he will never reject us, that we have a Father in heaven who loves us that we can always go to.
Yes.
And verse 47 says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me has eternal life." That's kind of a given. You believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. We all take that and we go, sweet, go to heaven. But I believe that that is eternal life when we die, and that may be far off. It may be tomorrow. But also, we have eternal life now.
That's right.
That there is a pattern and a design that God has for us to live in that we can experience here and now. That is the fullness of what we're supposed to live like.
Yes.
Yeah, that it isn't limited. It isn't striving for something. It isn't constantly battling things. But that there is a fullness of an eternal perspective that he has for us that we miss out on if we just choose to do our own thing.
Yes.
If we don't remain in him every day, if we don't depend on Jesus every day, if we don't build into a relationship with him, we just miss out. So the marks in our lives, I believe, that we will be satisfied in every way. As a follower of Jesus, we'll be satisfied in every way. We will never be rejected. Any situation we go through, we have a Father who loves us and who is there for us. And we have eternal life. We have a design for our lives that we can experience now and when we die. So with those three things, how do we achieve that? It's all very well and good. I stand here and I go, Jesus is the bread of life. We need to see him as the everyday. We're going to experience all these things. But practically, I want to know how that happens. How that works in my life. Rather than sending you away and going, off you go. Have eternal life. Yeah? How does that work? So verse 35. Again, I am the bread of life. And I think these are the two keys. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We need to come to Jesus and we need to believe in him. Two things. We need to come to Jesus as we are. No fronts, no pretending. If you're not feeling it, tell him. If you're going through rough times, tell him. If you can't be bothered, tell him. If you absolutely love Jesus to pieces, tell him. Come as you are with no front. He wants to have a relationship with you as you are. With the disagreements you have, with the hurts, with the joys, the important thing for us to do is to come towards him, not to go away. Because experiencing this life that he has for us happens when we come towards him, not away and backed in a corner, waiting for him to come to us. He meets us where we are, but it's so much better when he has an eager heart to work with. So we need to come to him and we need to believe in him. Which firstly means we need to know what we believe, because you can't believe something if you don't know what it is. So I'd say the first thing to do is to get stuck into the Word, and I'm learning this currently, is to learn more about Him, learn more about Jesus, who was He, learn more about God, what is He like? How can you have a relationship with someone that you don't know? I believe that you need to spend more time with people that reflect Christ. You can get to know what Jesus is like and understand Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus through one another. That's why I love the beginning, where we get to hang out and have, not coffee because I don't like coffee, but have a drink and a biscuit. Yeah, we get to experience Jesus with one another, from someone asking how you are and actually praying for you to someone just caring about you and seeing how you're doing. Yeah, we reflect Jesus to one another. And we meet Him through one another. So as we do these two things, I believe that we will move towards knowing in our lives what it means for Jesus to be the bread of life.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to miss out if this is a phrase we say rather than something we experience. Yeah, we're going to go through life, and there's this whole portion, this scripture, is the disciples coming to Jesus going, we want to do what you do. And He goes, that's fine. Believe in Me. This is who I am. The other things will come after. Yeah, don't chase the miracles of seeing God work, but have a relationship with Me first, and everything else will fall into place. And that's what I absolutely love about this passage, is that the disciples just don't get it. They don't understand, because they haven't seen. We see it from a reverse perspective now. We know what Jesus has done for us. We know who He is. We have a relationship with Him, and we can experience this. We don't need to wait for Jesus to tell us three times, like the disciples did. And at the end, some of them just walk off. They go, oh, no, it's too much. I don't actually understand it. It says, Jesus is saying, some of them are complaining, and Jesus is saying, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And are the very words I've spoken to your spirit and life. But some of you don't believe Me. We have the chance to believe Him.
Yes.
We can choose this or not. This is a choice. I know which one I'm making, because this paints a picture of an incredible life, of a life full, where I'm satisfied, where I'm never lonely, and I have an eternal perspective in my everyday surroundings. That sounds awesome. And I don't want to miss out on that. So I honestly pray that you guys don't either. That you accept this. That you believe in it. And we see our relationship with Jesus as vital as eating.
Yes.
Yeah? Amen. In fasting, to be real with it. To understand what it means to be hungry. But also, every time you eat, remember, actually, I find it so easy to go to Pizza Express and eat a pizza and go away and go, yep, I've eaten. But I want to remember, God, that's what I really enjoy when me and Hannah are eating, to saying thank you. It's not a meaningless exercise for us in our house. It means something. I'm remembering Jesus when I eat, because I want Him to be as like I'm eating, to be that needed in my life. So I pray that for all of you guys, that you will move towards that, knowing that in your hearts, it's Jesus being the bread of life is not something, a name we can call Him, an extra ad line for a song we're writing. It is something we can experience right now. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.